Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
It is good to see you. How y'all doing? Man, worship was powerful today. I was sitting there thinking, I hadn't really talked to Charity about the message at all. I'm like, she basically preached the message and the worship. It was so good. Just the heart of the Lord is here today. How many know that when God is speaking to us, he does it through multiple people? And I believe that that's part of what the body of Christ is to be. Man, I want to just say a couple of things before I get into what the Lord's given me today to share. First thing is that I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We are on track to have a record giving year at Hope. Of all of our year. Yeah, you can give the Lord a shout or a clap of praise for that. As of where we are right now, there has just been the faithfulness of God and your generosity, and we are able to reach a lot of people that we were not able to reach before. And I just want to thank you as you give to the Lord, because you're giving to him. Before you're even giving here, you're giving to him. That's what you're doing, and so it's beautiful. The other thing I want to mention is that you may or may not know this. At the beginning of the year, especially if you're newer, we began what we call Hope Family. How many are in a Hope Family? Okay, okay. Don't be too excited about that. We started Hope Families, and I was just talking with Pastor Paul, and he was sharing with me some of the incredible stories of what God is doing in family. And our heart for family is discipleship. It's actual discipleship, where as a leader of a family, as a father of a family, I believe that whoever is in my family, God has actually given them to me. It's not a program. It's not just a little Bible study, which they're great, they have their place, but it's a, I'm going to run with you. I want to see you become all that Jesus desires for you to come till you walk in maturity. That's what Hope Family is. He just told me we have just over 300 people in Hope Family. It's beautiful. There's 40-some leaders, and we're looking for leaders. We're looking for godly, mature fathers and mothers to stand in that place of leadership to lead some more families. There are many that are coming in that need family. How many think that's important? So if you're here today and you have that heart and you've been walking with the Lord for a little bit and you would like to lead a family, I want to encourage you to go on hopechurch.net/family and they will talk to you about that, kind of share the heart and the vision of that. So I encourage you in that. So the last couple of weeks have been a wild few weeks for the Thompson family. We had been talking and praying over the last year about selling our house. And for various reasons, and through prayer and discussion, how many know when you're going to sell your house at this time in the market and all that, you need to hear from the Lord? Through prayer and just talking together, we sense the leading of the Lord to go for it. So we went for it, and we put it up for sale, and we got a contract on it right away, and there's just so many beautiful details about what God has done in all of that, just God things happening. And we moved out last Friday. It was really quick. I mean, we packed up our whole entire lives in like 2 or 3 weeks. And we were out of there and we put all of our belongings in storage units. Did you know that storage units are hard to come by right now in Springfield? So we are in various storage units all over the city. A little part of us is here, a little part of us is there. We just sent our belongings to just minister to people, you know, out there. And and we put all of our stuff in storage, and we are living with some dear friends in their basement. Can you say glory? My wife and I were sitting yesterday in that basement. They're beautiful friends. It's just an amazing provision. I think it's good for everything, although you should pray for them. We were sitting there, we're like, we're in our 40s, we have 3 children, we homeschool, and we're living in the basement of friends. We need prayer. And anyways, we're homeless until we find the right house. But I fully believe that this has been the leading of the Lord for us. And I'm confident that he has a house for us in the end. But how many know that sometimes between the beginning of what God is doing and the place that he is taking you, sometimes there's a little bit of hell in the hallway. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can we be real? Have you ever experienced a little bit of that? Okay, some of you giving me mean looks, like the pastor just swore. I didn't. Sometimes we know the beginning and we know the end, but there are often a great amount of the details that are uncertain in the middle. And I call this the in-between. So I could tell you the Thompson family is in the in-between. In between here and there. The space between where we've been and where we're going, between the right now and what's to come. Maybe it's for you, you might find yourself in the in-between. Maybe it's in the in-between of a word that he gave you and that promise being fulfilled. Have you ever been in the in-between? How many in-betweeners do we have? Okay, let's form a club. It looks like we'll all be in it together. It's kind of a weird name, the in-betweeners. The in-between. And I think if we really think about it, most of all of our life is actually filled with in-between. Most of life is filled with transitions. Most of life is filled with that space between where we are and where we're going. From the time we're born to the time that we die, we're in transition from one place to another, from one season to another, from one assignment to another. And I've heard this all over, that there's so many of us right now in a season of transition. And I am here to encourage you today if you are in that season. But even more, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to release encouragement all over this place to encourage your heart. How many need some encouragement today? Actually, before I get into the word, would you just lift your hands and I want to pray over you. Father, I pray even right now for great encouragement to be released in this house. I ask that discouragement would be broken off, that hopelessness would be broken off, and that faith would rise up right now. I pray that encouragement would be the atmosphere of this room right now, and everyone in the family center and at home, we ask for just the encouragement of heaven. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I just ask that you would speak on 100 levels. I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now that you would speak on 100 levels right now, your heart to everyone in the room. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I'm calling the title of this message today, Storms in the In-Between. Storms in the In-Between. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And Jesus had just finished his teaching on one of his most important parables to a large crowd of people. The crowd had gathered along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is teaching them from a boat about a sower who's sowing seed. And he's speaking of, in this parable, of different types of soil. I've preached on this a while back. And the different types of soil that the seed would actually fall on. And the message of the parable was really about the condition of the heart. It was about the fertility and the receptivity of the heart that hears the word of the Lord, accepts the word, and then bears fruit. And as he taught them, the disciples literally had no clue what they were hearing would be tested that very night. How many know that sometimes what you're hearing is preparing you and you have no idea that it's actually preparing you for something that you're going to be tested on that very day? So Jesus finishes his teaching, and in verse 35, it says this: on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Can we read that together? Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. It says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. Now, Pastor Gary talked last week a little bit about the Sea of Galilee in another story, but the Sea of Galilee can get really rough really quick. It's known for its unpredictability. It's known for one moment everything being really calm, and the next moment suddenly winds from the surrounding mountains can actually create life-threatening swells. It can get so intense, they say, that even today, that if cars are parked on like the beach, that those swells can actually just move those entire cars because those swells come in so big. Boats get tossed around like little matchbox toys. This is what happened in this moment, in this passage. The waters are calm one moment, and then in a matter of minutes, they become life-threatening. Waves are breaking in. Waters are beginning to fill up the boat, and these guys are freaking out a bit. They were used to water. Many of them grew up fishing and fishing families, spent their lives in that. They'd been in rough waters before. I'm sure they'd even seen people die out on the sea. So they'd experienced storms, but what Mark calls this storm is a great storm. In fact, as I study this, the Greek says a mega storm. So this isn't just an average storm. This is a big one. And the disciples begin to freak out. In verse 38, it says, but Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Wouldn't you just have loved to have been in that moment? I mean, like, we read that story so many times over our lives that we become a little numb to it, but can you imagine what it would have been like to go from sheer terror, all of a sudden waking Jesus up? He comes up on the boat, and he speaks to the storm, and I don't know, I imagine it in some dramatic way, right? Like, peace, you know? I don't know if he's saying or not, but there he is, you know, and be still, and then these guys, you know, and oh, in an opera voice, I don't know, and all of a sudden, it's still. And you're like, what in the world, right? He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him? So there's like so much to be unpacked in this. There's like literally layers in this. But this is a moment where these guys have just experienced absolute sheer fear and terror. They think they're about to die, and they can't believe that Jesus is sleeping through it. I'm imagining what that would have been like in the boat, up and down. Jesus must have been a really sound sleeper. Right? No, for real. Like, if this is like the great storm, this is the mega storm, I mean, you got to be thinking like, Jesus, how can you be sleeping? So they wake him up, right? And then they're eyewitnesses to his power and his authority that is released even over creation that halts the winds and releases the calm. And they're like, who is this? We've seen this guy already heal people. We've seen him deliver people. We've listened to his teachings. They're like spot on. We've seen him do all this stuff. But who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? And church, I feel to remind us today that even the winds and the seas still obey Jesus. That even in the midst of whatever wind or whatever sea you're in, they still have to obey and bow to the name of Jesus. So they're going in this boat from one place to another, and they find themselves in a storm, and they find themselves in the in-between. And at first it seems to me a little bit harsh, given the circumstances that Jesus calls the disciples out and says, why are you afraid? You still don't have faith? I'm thinking, if I'm like the disciple in the boat, why am I afraid? Well, did you see the waves? Did you see the waves? Did you see how they were making us feel like a little baby boat? Did you see us getting whipped around? Oh, no, you didn't see because you were sleeping. right? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, did you see the water pouring in the boat? We were about to sink. It was like a literal hurricane that was going on. In the natural, guys, there was a lot to be afraid of. There was really, really good reason to be afraid. But what Jesus had been teaching them just before they got on the boat and now is teaching them in the boat is that the nature of the kingdom and where he is leading them, they are not going to be able to walk by sight. They're not going to be able to walk by sight. They're not going to be able to look at what's going on around them with natural eyes and with their natural senses. They are going to have to walk by faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in this storm, in the in-between from where they set off to where they were going, they forgot the word. They forgot the word. What was the word? The word was, let's go across. They had a word from the Lord. And right in the in-between, when the storm comes, they forgot the word and they started freaking out with fear. Church, sometimes the only word that you have is you're going to the other side. Sometimes the only word that you have is that you're going to the other side. Sometimes you don't know what will come in the in-between. Sometimes the only word you have is fear not, for I'm with you. Sometimes the only word that we have in the storm that we find ourselves in is you will walk through the waters and I will be with you. You will not drown. You will walk through the fire and you will not be burned. Sometimes the only word you have is I'll never leave you. And let me tell you, whatever word it is that he's given you is word enough for you to stand in the midst of wherever you are. It was simple. It was not a detailed, elaborate word. In fact, the word was so simple that he gave him that you could actually easily miss it. And guess what, church? They did. They missed it. How many know that sometimes it's the most simple word that you receive from God that is able to sustain you in the storm? To sustain you in that place where you're in the middle, where you're tempted to freak out and bail. Listen to what Jesus had taught them just before they got to the boat about the soil of their heart being ready and receptive to the word of the Lord. Verse 14, jump back to verse 14. He explains the parable. And I won't go into it in great detail, but he says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word that is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation, a storm comes of some sort, persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but when the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word out, it proves unfruitful. Verse 20, but those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Now jump down to verse 24. And he said to them, get this, pay attention to what you hear. Yes. Pay attention to what you hear. Because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. Turn to somebody this morning and say, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. And what he's doing here, it's like he is warning them before the boat ride, but he doesn't tell them it's a warning. He's saying, pay attention to what you hear. I believe that that is a good word for us today. In the climate that we are in the situation that we are in culture, both in our country, in our city, both personally on an individual level, this is a good word, that in the middle of the storm, in the in-between of the word and the fulfillment of the promise, you're going to have to go back to what you've heard. You're going to have to go back to what he said. And when he asked them, where is your faith? He wasn't referring to their faith in him. He's referring to his faith in the word. Amen. Their faith in his word. The seed that he had just sown into their lives. So when we got into the boat, the first thing he did was he sowed a seed. And the seed was this: we're going to the other side. Are you following me today? Yes. We're going to the other side. That was the seed. That was the promise. We're going to the other side. Now, I want to tell you this morning, that if Jesus says we're going to the other side, guess what? We're going to the other side. If he says, hey, we're going there, we are going to go there. Sometimes we have to pay better attention to what we've heard before the storm so that we can stand on it in the storm. Now, I may be just preaching this message to me, but I believe that there are storms going on all kinds of levels. And in the storm is not really the best time to get the word. You have to get the word and receive it beforehand so that that word is planted in your heart and it can grow up in that good soil so that you can stand in that place of faith because you have heard the word. When you see in the natural the opposite of what you have heard. Have you ever seen in the natural the opposite of what you've heard? If that word has not taken root, hear me on this, in good soil, it is going to produce fear, and you're going to be tossed back and forth with whatever is happening around you and to you. But if that word has taken root in good soil in your heart, it is going to yield fruit regardless of what's happening around you. You can stand in that boat with the waves going crazy and stand in the place of peace because peace is an inside job. It's a work of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Peace has nothing to do with external activity. How many are thankful for that? You can have the best of life happening and not be at peace. You can have the most intense life happening and be in complete peace. I have to tell you, sometimes it's a fight for the peace. Sometimes it's labor to enter rest. I've hit some of that in the last few weeks as I sit in the basement of a friend's house. There is a laboring for peace to be at rest. It's a kingdom reality manifested on the inside of us. You think about this. An entire sea is unable to sink a boat unless it gets in the boat. When we allow the things on the outside to get on the inside of us, we begin to sink. This is why I believe Jesus is saying we have to pay attention to what we hear. Because if you are tuned into the flesh, it's going to be flesh. If you're tuned into the Spirit, it'll be Spirit. The storm going on around them had no effect on Jesus because there was no storm going on in Jesus. I love what Bill Johnson says. I heard him say this a few times over the years. He says, you have authority over whatever storm you can sleep in. You have authority over whatever storm you can sleep in. If you can sleep in it, you can have authority. How can he sleep? He's at peace. He's at rest. He knows he's going to the other side. There's a demon-possessed man on the other side that needs deliverance. There's a woman that needs healing on the other side. He's going there. He's rooted. Jesus is rooted in who the Father says he is. He's living by every word that comes from the mouth of his Father. So if Jesus says we're going to the other side, that word came from the Father. So he knows that he will make it to the other side and he can rest in the storm. But his peace caused the disciples to think he didn't care. And they're worked up and in a frenzy and he's asleep. Have you ever experienced this before in your own life? You're at peace, you're at rest in the midst of a storm, and others around you aren't. Like, others around you are freaking out, and because you aren't freaking out, and maybe you're not as intense as everybody else about whatever that storm may be, you are perceived as not caring. You are perceived as out of it. You are perceived as not really walking in the word of the Lord. Because if you were walking in the Lord, the will of the Lord, you'd be freaked out right now too with the rest of us. But cover up your freakness in prayer. Oh, sorry. You know what I'm saying? This is exactly what is happening here. The disciples have misinterpreted the entire experience. And here's what I want to tell you, whether it's the storm of COVID in the last 18 months, the storm of all the political stuff going on in our country, or it's the storm that's going on in your marriage or your family or your job or whatever place that is, the temptation of the storm is to question, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus, don't you care about what's going on? God, don't you care that we're drowning? Where are you, right? That we're sinking. Where are you? It looks and it feels like you're asleep. But I want to tell you this morning emphatically, Jesus is not asleep in your situation. Today, I feel like God's just given me a straight exhortation. This isn't even a teaching. I feel like I am here to release encouragement over you. Jesus sees your situation. He is not asleep. He sees and he knows everything about everything. And he is in your boat if you have asked him. If we panic and we fear in the in-between, we're going to always come up with the wrong conclusions about God and his intentions. We'll make agreements with weird prophecies. We'll come into agreement with the latest thing that we've heard. We'll start doubting the character and the goodness of God. They didn't connect the dots between what they'd been taught earlier that day and what was happening in that moment. I don't know about you, but many times I don't connect the dots either. Sometimes I miss the dots that he's connecting before me. Because when we're in the in-between and the storm hits, it can actually make our heads swirl with irrational thoughts and emotion. But here's the truth. God is not always as interested in rescuing us out of crisis as he is in what we will get out of going through crisis. Spiritual formation is happening in the in-between places, even though we don't love to say it. Church, I want to tell you, God is not in the beginning and the end. God is in the in-between. God is in the middle. God is in the transitions. He is in the moments of your life where you feel like you are far from him and you are sinking. I want to tell you, he is right there. He is right there, and you are being formed, and you are being made in his image right there in the middle. And these disciples will never forget this. They don't just have head knowledge about what he taught. They have an experience now. They have an encounter with the one who calms the waves and calms the seas and stops the winds. And now they're going to walk in a greater authority too. I say this to you today, church. Don't be fooled when you're on your way to the other side. And we're all on our way to the other side about something. Meaning wherever he's leading you and taking you, sometimes the place that you are going is also the place where the winds come from and blow against your sails. It's just the truth. And it's easy to get disoriented and think, I must be going the wrong way. Following the will of God does not equal smooth sailing. It often includes great resistance and extreme pushback. Aren't you glad you came to church today? It's like, man, I thought this was supposed to be about good news. He's like telling us the bad news. Church, this is good news. Think about this. The disciples are in the will of God. How do we know? Because Jesus said, get in the boat. And right in the middle of the will of God, there's a problem. Have you ever been in the middle of the will of God and there's a problem? We have a problem. Here's the key. When you find yourself in the problem, don't forget the promise. If you're taking notes, that will be a little gem for you to pull out in the middle of whatever problem you face. When you find yourself with a problem, don't forget the promise. What tells you that you are out of the will of God isn't the problem. It isn't the storm. It isn't the sudden swell of life threatening waves. What tells you that you are in the will of God is whether you did what he said or not. For the disciples, the problem in this moment overrode the promise. So now they're living in the light of the problem. And no longer living in the light of the promise. Are you picking this up? When you no longer live in the light of the promise, the light of the problem will dominate you. And it'll try to make you forget that there was a promise ever. Throughout scripture, from the very front to the very back, the people of God have had to always push through great difficulty, great opposition as they take new territory, as they take new land and frontiers. And it often happens in the in-between. God speaks a promise over an individual. God speaks a promise over a community. And then for the next however many years, it seems, they get the opposite of that promise. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, we see it in Joseph. You know, he's told that he's going to do great things, and he ends up a slave. We see it in David. He's anointed king, and he becomes a fugitive, and it isn't for 20 years that he becomes king. Paul lists in 2 Corinthians. Is this a downer? I hope this is good. I think it's going to turn a corner. I hope it is. I'm hoping I'm turning the corner here in a minute. But I think we got to really get this because this is real life. I lived much of my life because I had such favor all the time that when things were going good, I equated that with I am in the will of God until you hit some hard places and you're like, whoa, that's disorienting. What's going on? Paul lists in 2 Corinthians 11, you don't have to go there, all this wild stuff that he walked through in the will of God. He was beaten with rods, right? He's stoned, he's shipwrecked 3 times. He's adrift at sea, it says, a day and a night. He's constantly in danger from robbers. And I mean, he goes without food. He's hungry. He's thirsty. All the daily pressures. And it says the anxiety for all the churches. Where God is leading and taking you, you're undoubtedly going to face many unexpected things, wonderful things, and terrifying moments all the same. I'm not talking about a theology of suffering. Do not hear me on that. I don't believe that that's where we are to go or to live. I'm saying that there are going to be moments of waiting. There are going to be times in between. And it is going to require, like Mother Teresa said, trust over clarity. Trust over clarity. That you do not understand the details in the middle, but you are going to trust what he has said, and you're going to hold on to what he has said. But here's what I want to encourage you in today. Whatever in-between season you are in, whatever storm you may be in, here's what I hear today. Don't head back. Don't head back. It might be in your marriage. It might be with your kids. It might be with a son or a daughter who's far off from the Lord. The list is huge. Don't head back. You're going to the other side. Don't bail. Don't jump ship in the middle. You're going to the other side. Don't be overcome by fear. Focus on the promise. Don't focus on the problem. Remember the word of the Lord. Remember what he has said. Sometimes we got to go back to what the Lord has said in the most simplistic moments where he said something to us that we missed, and hold on to what that word was and pay attention to what we've heard. Sometimes you've heard exactly what you needed to hear and you're searching for something else, and he wants to, by the Holy Spirit, remind you what he already said so you can stand. Remember, meditate on it day and night. When the storm hits, you're in the in-between. It'll try and mess with your emotions and your mind, and you'll be tempted with all kinds of crazy thoughts. I heard somebody say this, I think it was Chris Vallotton, that the dogs of doom bark loudest at the door of your destiny. The dogs of doom that make you want to feel like the world is crashing in around you. Hopelessness, despair, they bark louder and louder and louder when you're at the door of your destiny. Wrong thoughts about God will want to come in that moment, about your future. Wrong thoughts about you, about other people, fear, panic, all this stuff. Self-preservation, it's going to tempt you to have a flesh fest. A pastor friend that I was with this week, he said, that's what we've seen over the last 18 months is a flesh fest. Some of us have lived in a flesh fest. Don't raise your hands. I think it's happened. We've seen it outside the church and inside the church. Some of it, we've called it in the name of the Lord, but it's flesh. What do we do? What do we do? I'm not prophesying storms. The truth is that whatever the storm is, it doesn't even matter how intense it is. Because if Jesus is with us, we can stand through whatever it is. I am not encouraging storms. I'm not even saying, hey, get ready for a big storm. I think we're in quite a storm right now. I think this is storm enough. But what do? I believe what we do is we prepare right now. And how do we prepare? We have to let his word go down deep and get planted in the soil of our hearts so we can stand in the day of the storm. And not only stand, but we can stand up like Jesus said and rebuke the storm. There are things that need to be rebuked. There are things that come to push us off course that do need to be rebuked. And there are times that we cannot control out there. The only thing we can control is in here. And we can stand in that place of rest. And we have to refuse to let what's going on out there get inside of us. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, Jesus ends all of his teaching with a story about storms. And he says this in verse 24. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Church, we need this. We need this. This means, as kingdom people, hear me on this. It doesn't matter how big the storm is that is upon you. It doesn't matter how intense the winds are that are blowing on your house. When you have heard the word of the Lord, it's planted in you. You are doing what it says. You're going to be able to stand the beating. You're going to be able to stand the forces of any storm because you are founded on the rock. You are built on the rock. You're going to be able to stand in peace on a boat in any storm and release peace and calm. What does our country need right now? What does our city need right now? What do our families need right now? I believe that it needs the people of God to stand in the midst of great turmoil and release the realities of the kingdom of God as it is in heaven. Let it be right now through me. A people who will see the storm that is upon us, who can stand in the place of rest and peace and declare what the Lord has said. And release the reality of Jesus. Not a different version, but a reality of heaven here on earth. But here's the thing, we cannot release what we do not have. We cannot release what we do not have. These disciples did not have it to release in the boat. Here's what I hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. They forgot what they heard. Have you ever forgot what you heard in the middle? They forgot what they heard. If you're consumed with the noise out there, that's what's going to be consuming in here. If we're moved by what we see, we're not going to be moved by what he said. I'm not talking about pretend. I'm not talking about fantasy living. It's true. There are waves. But what's the truth? The truth is we're going to the other side. Right? It's true. That wind. It's true. I see water pouring into the boat. But what's the truth? The truth is we're going to the other side. I want to tell you today, whatever storm you're in, it's the same for you. It may be true what you see with your eyes, but what is the truth? The truth is you're going. The truth is his promises never fail. The truth is he's faithful to the end to complete what he started. The truth is you're a word from heaven, and every word that's sent down from heaven will not go back until it's accomplished and completed what it's sent forth to do. That's the truth. We have to be able to see what's true and see it through the lens of the truth of what he said. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? I hear him saying to us this morning, you don't have to engage with the storm. You don't have to imitate the storm. You don't have to even carry this intensity with you of the storm that is raging around you. You don't have to go crazy with whatever the waves are. Jesus says, don't be afraid of what you see. Look at me. Look at me. What I carry, you carry. I don't think his question to the disciples was so much a rebuke as it was an invitation to authority. I don't think it was so much a rebuke. I think it was an invitation to authority that was available to them. What if it was, why are you so afraid? The kingdom's yours. You can sleep in the storm too. You can stand in that place and speak to the wind. Would you stand with me this morning? I believe that what God is raising up here at Hope is a people that are so deeply rooted in the realities of the kingdom that the soil of our heart has been so fertile that it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that we can sleep in a storm and release him wherever we go. How many want to be a part of that? Would you just lift your hands all over the room? We're going to sing this for a minute, and I'm going to pray over you. But just lift your hands and just say, Jesus, I welcome you into my boat again. I welcome your word over my life. I welcome you to speak to me clearly. Come on, church. I welcome your word. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm going to be moved by what you say. Jesus. Let's just sing this out. I've got heaven.
I've got heaven all around me, and nothing's gonna take me down. Nothing's gonna take me down. I've got heaven all around me, and nothing's gonna take me down. And nothing's gonna take me down.
Come on, like you mean it today.
I've got heaven all around.
Declaration.
I've got heaven all around me, yeah. Nothing's gonna take me down. Nothing's gonna take me down.
We'll just sing in the middle. Declare this out. An emotional moment, but there is something in the spirit that is actually breaking as the church declares this. I'm not having us sing something because it feels good. I actually believe that there's a powerful declaration that happens when we actually stand as the church of Jesus Christ and say, we will not be shaken. We will stand on the word of the Lord. Yes, come the storm, the winds, all the things, whatever they are that blow. We are going to be rooted in Jesus on the rock in the midst of whatever happens. We're not going to imitate the spirit of the day. We're not going to engage with the intensity of all that's going on. We're going to stand in the place of rest and peace. I don't know what it is, but at home in the family center, one more time, let's just lift our hands. And in the loudest singing voice that you have, I want us to declare that bridge in the middle, right in the middle of the struggle. Come on, sing it out. Here we go. In the middle.
In the middle. You are my victory.
Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise? When we walk out of here today, you can know that you are rooted and grounded in Him as you walk out of here. And you put your hope and your faith and your everything in Him, regardless of what you see or you don't see. We're going to be grounded on His word, what He says, in Jesus' name. I hope you have the best week ever in victory and in faith. Eyes on Jesus. God bless you. We love you so much. We'll see you Wednesday night for prayer.